Are you aware of the geological feature that was discovered here in this town?
You're not talking about coming tonight, are you?
Why, yes, I am.
Well, I hear it's very valuable.
It's called coming tonight.
It is called.
It's a real stone.
It's a real stone. I don't know about this.
Yeah, but I think that every seventh grade boy in the country probably does.
And every one half of a host of the Fabulous 413, who anytime comes to this town, wants to talk about that wonderful rock.
All the names that were possible that you could have named it.
It's perfection.
Coming tonight is really my favorite stone.
It
should be the official stone of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Well, we'll put it on a petition and see what happens. I think we know some other groups that we can maybe get band together. Some sort of a cooperative effort.
Oh, God.
Get ready, Road Knight. Coming tonight's coming for you.
We are here at another Local Hero Spotlight with Claire Morneau from CESA, the Local Hero folks, at what I still call the Cummington Creamery, but is now the Old Creamery Co-op.
That's right.
Officially, and it has become a co-op.
Oh, I'm Lloyd Miller. It's nice to meet you.
What do you do here?
Well, I'm the general manager.
I'm Jesse Macero, and I'm the marketing and membership coordinator.
Before we dive into the co-op aspect of the Creamery, tell us a little bit of the history of this wonderful place on Route 9 in Cummington. It's one of those places I always stop if I can stop whenever I go by.
Same. When I lived in Williamsburg, it was like my partner at the time and I hang out because there was no place to go in Williamsburg. But, like, this was the place to come up and hang out.
Now, there's a couple places in Williamsburg you
can
hang out.
Yeah, that's 20 years later.
Yeah. Tell us about the history of the Cummington Creamery.
Yeah, the Old Creamery Co-op. I mean, you know, we say before we get to the co-op part, but I mean, our origins actually were in cooperative business back in, I think it was 1886.
Yes,
we had the Cummington Cooperative Creamery is what this building originally was. So, I mean, at its peak, this place was churning butter, you know, turning out dairy for essentially all the local farmers would bring their animals to one spot so that they could share those resources of production and get the butter made. What was it, about 20,000 pounds?
Something like that, yeah.
A week, I think, at the peak.
So and kind of like the Our Family Farms of its day.
Absolutely, like a cooperative. It was dairy cooperatives at that time were fairly common. But yeah, that's the origin of, I mean, cooperative origin, you know?
That's right. No, and so, you know, it kept going that way as that particular cooperative enterprise until the 40s. Yeah. In the 40s, you know, that's when obviously it got a lot easier to refrigerate, got a lot easier to transport and stuff like that. So it just wasn't as necessary. But it still, it had that vital point of being the center of a community.
Yeah.
So it became a bunch of different things. Usually in one version or another, it was a general store or it was a restaurant. And I think in around 88, around 90, the Berenson family purchased it, built out this really nice sunny cafe that we're sitting in, and combined the grocery and restaurant aspects of it. And so that's sort of the model that it's been since then.
We've actually still got the sign from the old restaurant up there.
Old Creamery Restaurant, it says way up there. And they're also worth noting, there is a cow on your roof.
That's
not a real cow, but it is one of the iconic beacons of the Old Creamery Co-op.
We are the place to shop with a cow on top. And we do have the Berensons to thank for that. That was part of the renovation was Camille, our good friend Camille up there looking out for us.
It's the best landmark whenever you're telling people to get here. Just like, just look for the building with the cow on the roof. And they're like, what? You'll know when you get there.
So after the Berensons had the store through 1990, a couple of really wonderful women, Alice and Amy, Alice Cosolino and Amy Pulley took over and really kind of brought a vibe to the store that was a little different. You know, it was more towards that, just the positivity that one would already associate with co-ops, to be honest, right? Natural foods.
Yeah.
Home cooking.
Yeah.
You experienced a lot of that.
Absolutely. I worked for Alice and Amy. Alice hired me in 2006. Yeah, just heart of the community type folks, people who their door was open, their hearts were open, and they wanted to share their love of food. They were the first people to ever have me try ice wine vinegar, you know, the kind of thing that I could never afford. I can't afford that, but they wanted me to try it. It was that level of, like, care for the food. And that's really what traveled through to the co-op. That was the through line.
Yeah. And then, you know, they just became such a fixture in the community, and this just became that much more of that gathering place that it always had been. But, you know, it was a private enterprise. That's what happens a lot of times, especially in these small rural communities. You run a risk with private enterprise because people have private lives and they want to move on with them. If you've ever run a business, you know that eventually it kind of can get on top of you and there might be something else you want to do. So what happens if you don't have somebody you want to leave it to? It's that succession. In this case, the community came together, decided they really wanted to maintain what Alice and Amy had built and to really honor it and to try to create a business that would be here in perpetuity. And that's where cooperatives come in. We're community owned. It was a huge undertaking for this community to come together, meetings on meetings, fundraising and fundraising, and they did it, and we've been cooperatively owned since 2012.
It feels like sometimes it's hard to convince community to get involved in co-ops. Like, once it's running, they're like, it's fine, this is great here. But, like, getting that ball particularly rolling, did you experience any pushback from the community? Like, what was the engagement like when you were in the midst of all of that paperwork and trying to get this on its feet?
Jesse, marketing director for the Old Creamery Co-op. Who's been here 20 years, right?
I have been here on and off for about 20 years, which is an impressive amount of time. No, I think that overall it was a rising up. Everybody looked at the creamery and said, this is a resource that we want to have. We understand why Alice and Amy want to have their lives back. We get that. And so it's time for us to step up and say, that's fine. You guys can go sit down. We're going to pick it up from here. You know, every year we get new members and new people involved.
How many members do you have?
1,126, I believe.
Wow, that's good, because that is more people than live in the town of Cummington, right?
That is correct. I think 2020, the census said we had around 800 or so. But, you know, that's the key point, too, right? We serve the Hilltowns.
Right.
Our home is Cummington, this wonderful, insane, tiny town that just over the years has had poets, artists, farmers, this fair, you know, the things that you just wouldn't expect to be cropping up in a town of 800 people. There's been a through line for so long. But here we are, and we couldn't be happier.
Lloyd, you have a kind of an interesting origin story in relationship to the Old Creamery Co-op. You want to tell us where you came from to get to here?
Yeah, I actually moved up here from New Orleans, let's say mid-COVID. But, you know, my involvement with this town and this store goes back to the early 2000s as well. My wife came from New York, and she went to one of our local summer camps up here every summer. From 1986, she's been out there. We've got Shire Village Camp. We've got Camp Greenwood Music Camp. You know, it makes for beautiful summertime. But, yeah, I own bars and manage small businesses. There's a place in New Orleans called Preservation Hall. I got the distinct pleasure of working for, back when the band was still playing gymnasiums on tour and stuff like that.
Well, they play the Academy of Music in Northampton.
Yeah. They'll play gyms if they want to.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed.
Preservation Hall itself is real tiny and gorgeous.
Oh, it's so beautiful, and it's all heart. And that's the thing. You know, they've got a mission. The Old Creamery Co-op has a mission. I'm just a mission-based person, and I love working towards a goal, and it's good goals.
Claire Morneau, Spisa.
Well, you've talked about how the co-op is sort of a community hub for Cummington and the Hilltowns. I'm curious if you can tell us more about your relationship with farms.
Boy, that's so important. You know, as a co-ops, you know, they're always, as a rule, founded with certain principles in mind, right? There's seven cooperative principles, and if you need them, you look to them, but one of them is definitely supporting local. I mean, that's why we're here. We are so pleased in this rich farmland out here to be able to pull so much of our produce locally. We have a wonderful aggregator up the road. Shout out to Ruby over at Oliver's Farm Stand up in Goshen. She does an amazing job of, like, traveling and building this net between all these local producers, and we get to benefit from that, because as a grocery store, we can't do everything. But what we can do is we can pull these strings together, hopefully, and find the people that we can support that do those things.
What are some of those farms that you work with?
Well, we work with Thomas Farm and Dairy is a sort of local farm. Scott Orchard is a local orchard that we've been pulling fruit from for decades. It's not just food, it's also local producers like Just Soap. You know, like there's a lot of folks around here who make a lot of incredible objects and food. And
Just Soap is bicycle-powered soap.
That's true.
Shout out to
yeah.
my buddy Fred, who rides the bicycle that churns the mash that makes the soap.
I mean, it's so much easier than just using your arms.
Hylon Farm, we scoop ice cream all summer long. We get it directly from Hylon Farm, and if something goes wrong, I drive out there and pick it up myself. They make their own ice cream on the farm. That place has been doing business for so long. Jesse, what are those? They've got very fancy cows.
Oh, they have incredibly fancy cows. Their cows sleep on heated water beds.
What? Yeah. No, Hylon's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to go sleep over.
It's crazy. And it's so interesting, too, the connections that you find out here, right? So I was talking with the folks over at Thomas Farm, and they have a 4-H connection back to Hylon Farm. So everybody out here is interconnected. It's a network.
You have to survive. You know, that's part of our identity, too, is beyond just a food co-op. We're rural food co-op, and that's really its own thing. We have a really specific mission here, which is to serve our community in such a way that we have not only like the high attribute, organic, local, awesomest, higher end co-op style offerings, but also affordability, conventional groceries. And you have to be two stores under one roof here, because that's how you serve your community. You got two different audiences sometimes. We're not competing with the big store across the street. We're competing with this idea that you have to travel 30 minutes to give your money to a large corporation that's going to filter it all upwards to where, you know, it's leaving the community. We're here. We're in the center of a small community. We bring other small communities to us, and we keep that money in the system.
We often visit the Leverett Village Co-op, which is the only store in Leverett and serves a very similar purpose to that community. We were just at Gardening the Community in Springfield, in a neighborhood that is a food desert, despite the fact that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that live in that one neighborhood. You are a rural food co-op in the midst of a rural food desert. You're the only game in town for food in the area. Talk about your relationship to SNAP and HIP. Are people able to use those programs when they come here as well?
SNAP, yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's another project going on in town. Down the town is working on turning the old Berkshire Trail Elementary School into some sort of a food hub. It's very, you know, early days on all that. I believe the Franklin County Community Development Corporation is helping out with that.
Yep.
And we'll see how it develops. You know, we've had little meetings. We'll help where we can, and hopefully everybody gets fed.
It feels like there are three different businesses under the co-op, the Creamery co-op. I've already lost the thread.
The old Creamery co-op.
Thank you. Thank you. Like where, like you have the grocery aspect, you have the cafe aspect, and the tchotchke, like, merch.
Yeah.
That, talk about how important that third one is, because not everybody does merch for their spot, even when it's relatively iconic, which I definitely think the Creamery is.
Being a bit of a food oasis out here, we offer the locals something that I think is very difficult to find out here, but what we offer folks who are passing through is a bit of a memory, a token, something to take back from camp. You spent all summer out here, and you had all these wonderful times getting an ice cream cone down at the Creamery. Everybody seems to love taking home a shirt, taking home a mug.
We saw somebody purchasing a shirt while we were here.
That's awesome. But it's also local crafts, right? So, like, there's this element of people around here who are very talented, who are bringing in their work, and then this is a place where they can offer it. And when you come in here and you see the local handcrafted pottery or paintings, it gives a sense of community that is the reality of what we're doing out here, which is sort of tying everybody together.
And I'll tell you one more thing about that, too. When you expand your offerings just a little bit like that, you give people driving by something to purchase. They don't need eggs. But I'll tell you something, all those other purchases, every cup of coffee, there's different margins on everything. Grocery is a very interesting business. Some of these other things help to subsidize the pantry foods for the locals. We're not trying to make money off of eggs, but you have to charge what you have to charge to stay in business. And, you know, sometimes you can charge a little less if people are buying T-shirts.
Does liquor help in that way, too?
No liquor, but beer and wine, right?
We sell liquor as
well. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
We haven't gotten that here yet. But you have a pretty good wine selection.
The cashier has control of the harder stuff.
They keep it away from me.
That's right. So everything. Everything you can offer in a grocery store? Man, let me tell you something. This is something that we're not just a co-op. We're a food co-op. And you guys know grocery stores are not exactly engines of profit.
Right.
If you do everything right as a grocery store, you get to keep one penny out of every dollar that crosses your counter into your register. And that's if you're doing everything right. And it's real easy not to do everything right. So what you learn is that you just keep massaging everything. You just keep building everything out, making everything as lovely, everything as attractive, everything as positive and wholesome as you can. And there's a synthesis to the whole thing. It all goes into the soup, and hopefully you get to keep that dollar.
If people are interested in becoming an owner of the Old Creamery Co-op, what does that entail, and what kind of benefits do those people get if they become owners?
Everybody who becomes a member purchases equity in our co-op. This means that you are a member owner. It means that the business is partially yours. With that comes some rights and responsibilities. So, you know, we have an annual meeting every year where every member is invited to come and vote and take a role in their co-op's leadership. But it also means that you can sign up and be on the board and sort of help steer the vehicle down the road. We also do member appreciation weekends four times a year. We sort of line them up so that they're uniquely positioned to help our customers around like Thanksgiving or various times of the year where a little bit of a discount can actually go a long way.
The real thing that people get, I believe, out of joining a cooperative is this sense that you're doing something different with your money. You are participating in a strong, vibrant local economy. You have a stake, and we're keeping the money with the local producers, not, again, filtering it up to, like, three guys that just take all the little pennies that they can. So that's the draw. It's having a say, as Jesse was saying, the democratic process, and being part of a different way of thinking about food access and what profit really means.
You also get access to our newsletter a number of days early where I do go around the local area. I hit businesses, events, different attractions, things that bring people in and try to shine the light out, you know, try to really meet our goals for supporting the community around us by highlighting those of our community who could use it.
It's really true because, you know, we can't always support financially, you know, the activities around us. As we said, not a profit engine here, right? But we have reach, you know, and that's what we try to do, is try to use venues like Jesse's monthly feature that he writes in the newsletter to make our community aware of each other and what they're doing. We did Just So. You know, Jesse wrote a great story about them. We've done Highland Farm. We've done a ridiculous, probably, like, we've probably shot a little high in the number of features that we've written in the last 5 years.
It's fun to scratch that creative itch. It's like what we do every week.
It's probably the most joy that I have found working, period, end of story. Going around and seeing people's passion, seeing all of the work and energy that they put into the things that they love, and I get to learn about it, I kind of envy you, man.
We get to be curious for a living, I tell people all the time.
It's our whole job.
Yeah. Lloyd, you alluded to just like the inherent challenge in running grocery stores.
Yeah.
And you said that you came in partway during COVID.
Yeah.
Jesse, you've been involved for 20 years. I'm curious, just like within the world of small grocers and rural grocers, what has changed over the years and what challenges you see coming, how you sort of approach the ever-changing and challenging world of small grocers?
Well, you just keep showing up, don't you? I've been running small businesses for a long time. This is the first time I've ever done grocery, and it was a little bit of a learning curve. We'll shout out to a cooperative organization called Columinate that can really offer some education for people who are learning, the nuts and bolts of a business. But it's a constant massaging of data points. So it's not a very interesting answer. Maybe Jesse's got a more heartwarming one that I'm going to sit here and talk about spreadsheets.
Numbers are important.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah,
I would say that I think leaning on your community is kind of the direction I would head. I would say leaning on other organizations. You know, NFCA has been such a help for us. CISA has been such a help for us. There are people who are already doing the work, and if you can plug into networks, that's one of the pieces that's really going to help you sustain. If you can learn from the mistakes that other people have already made, just even a couple of years ago, you know, like, you can actually save yourself. And we have been a resource for others to talk about the bumps that we've hit, and in reaching out to places like River Valley, to all these other places, we're able to look down the road and see speed bumps coming our way as well.
It's cool that the co-ops cooperate. Greenfields Co-op and River Valley Co-op cooperate.
Isn't that one of the principles?
Number
cooperation
six.
Number six.
Co-op people love number six. It's co-ops helping co-ops. That's the seven cooperative principles that we talked about.
We're here in the lushness of summer as summer wanes, alas. But what's this place like in the winter? Some of the tourist traffic is very different. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's gone. It's just less. And then sometimes it gets hard to navigate Route 9 because they forget to plow. I have lived in the hill towns. So, yeah, what's this place like in the winter? What are the trends that you've seen when it gets cold?
Well, so you talk about the tourists. We do get skiers in, so Notch View is actually a huge pull. You know, you'd be surprised. And there's some snow.
Oh, snow tourism?
Snow tourism, yeah.
I forgot that the world is warming up, so we don't get as much of that anymore.
It's so true. It's really unfortunate. But I would say that the creamery does slow down. You know, every winter we look at what we can do for the summer to make things easier for ourselves. We really focus on ourselves in the winter and our community. So it's a great place to sit and have a nice cup of coffee and chat about that snowstorm.
It gets real cozy. It gets real cozy around here. We got hot mulled cider that we sell. You know, we switch over to a house-made cocoa. You know, it's a different vibe. It's a different time of year. And you know what? It's nice because the community comes here. Look, it's fun to have lots of people just passing through, lots of people passing through. But it's also really nice to see a community looking for each other in a space and being that space where they can find each other.
And just showing up for each other. You never know who's going to show up with a snow shovel or their excavator to clear our snow banks. We're very grateful. Mm,
for sure. That's part of the co-op, too. Everybody's pitching in.
Your cafe is constantly booming. If you could talk just a little bit about your selections, which I think generally punch above their weight in a way that people don't really, like, expect from a spot like this, and how important maintaining that cafe, regardless of restaurant legacy that this place has, is to your current model.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And, you know, that's part of the thing. Like we said, there's so many pieces of the puzzle. Not only do we have that killer deli, we've got the killer bakery, these pies, the crumb top fruit pies that we do. Melanie Risley back there, Noelle Shears on our prepared food department, Janet Pixley running our deli, and those are the items. And they're sort of more luxury. Again, you're getting away from pantry, right? And food service, that's a 33% cost situation. So you use labor. You use labor to create things by hand for people. So you're your own producer then at that point, and it really does help to bolster things. Punching above your weight, we have these amazing specialty grilled sandwiches, the Flying Pig, the Holy Cow, huge breakfast sandwich menu, including the Herman Melville, because you got to name
made with real whale.
That's right. Well,
no, that's not.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, but you can inflate smoked salmon into whale-like proportions in your mind. You
cost-wise,
smear the cream.
Certainly.
Yeah, no, it gets real. But, it's a huge component of what we do. And, I mean, come on, nothing gives the feels like food.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, I think leaning into those ingredients that really make a difference and matter, like thick-cut bacon. Honestly, our focaccia is one of the biggest pulls. So if you're getting a panini, you're getting it on focaccia. We make the focaccia here. It is delicious. People drive just for that.
Mm. Lloyd and Jesse from the Old Creamery Co-op, thanks for welcoming us here to your cafe. I'm going to get myself another cup of coffee and can't wait to have these ribs for lunch.
My God, you guys, it's so nice to see you in person.
And thanks for generally not putting celery in your chili.
Somebody's got to do it.